Welcome back into Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone. David Pascal along with Wells Guthrie. Hoping everybody out there is having a safe and terrific Tuesday. Well, last night, UTC goes on the road for the first time and comes away with a 62-54 win at Tennessee Tech, closing out the game on a 14-2 run. And joining us now is 20-win Lamont Paris after the victory. Coach, congratulations. How are you today?
Oh, thanks, guys. I'm good. How you doing? I don't know who was in charge, which one of you guys was in charge of the weather, but I don't know. I'm just here to be questioned for that.
Well, surely it isn't the first time you've walked out of a basketball gym and you were cold.
No, not me. I mean, it's okay. I'm okay with it. Trust me. I still am trying to keep my Midwest card.
I was about
active.
To say,
yeah, it came from Wisconsin.
And if it gets into the 40s and that bothers me, then you know, I think I'm immediately called a Southerner, which there's nothing wrong with that.
Wrong with that at all. What time did you get back last night from the game? And what do you do when you get home after a game like that? How do you unwind? Do you look at any film, or what do you do like that first hour? Or you go straight to bed.
So we got back. I drove separate to that game. We went up. It was a little bit different just because of COVID and everything. We went up and back on the same day. We usually will go the night before. I'm not saying that's why we shot poorly, but I'm also not saying that's not why we shot poorly. But we went up and back on the same night. So we got back. I got back here a little before midnight, and it's hard for me to I usually will watch the game on the bus on the way home. Obviously I couldn't do that and drive. And right. So when I got home, I just waited till this morning before I watched the game. And I just wanted to have a clear mind as I did. And I'm glad I did. I mean, there were some things that I saw true in the game. But then there were a couple things. There were a couple more bright spots in it than what I originally had thought, particularly on the defensive end. So. So that's what it looked like. Got up and watched the tape this morning, and I make clips and edits for some individual players as well as our overall team that we'll watch tomorrow. And then, we're off today from practice. So,
all right, I'm going to ask this, but you get a technical last night, and then you close the game on a 14-2 run.
Yeah. I knew that was coming, and so that's why you use them sparingly, my friend. That's why you use.
All right, that was your first one since when?
I got one at the Akron game in my first year, so that was probably the fifth or sixth game of the year, something like that. And it was I'll say this, at least in that one, both of them I earned the tee. I mean, I was going to get the tee. That one I walked out onto the court while play was going on, and I did not swear. one time during that tee. This one I didn't walk onto the court, and let's just put it this way, from the other end of the court, he knew that I had earned a tee.
Okay, so you did throw out a wordy nerd.
Maybe.
Hey, but look, I mean, I'm sure Jim Horton's gonna put this in his notes. Every time you get a tee this season, you go on a 14-2 run. And in fact you scored the next 14 points, right?
Yeah. You got to be known for something. And if that's what I'm known for, then that'll be it.
All right. But everybody meets you. They're like, man, that Lamont Paris is a good dude. And that Lamont Paris is a nice dude. We just don't see you as the type to get tees. I know we always beg for you to get one. And you get one last night. All right. So what happened there? Why did the team, obviously, whether you wanted it to or not, it ignited the team.
Yeah, it did. It was a cumulative effect, I thought. just a bunch of things were happening, and it culminated with a play that I thought was wildly inaccurate in a no-call on Steph at the basket. And, you know, so it was at some point, it was a type of game where it's nip and tuck, and every call is going to count. And you know, to be honest with you, I had to draw the line in the sand on that one. Just it can't be like this from here on out. And I get it. We're going to give them 2 points, but I'll be darned. Like it's not going to go like this the rest of the way. We're not going to just accept that type of call. And so that's the message. And the guys took it the right way. They played. at that point. And I told them they saved me, because I don't, my only rule with that is I don't try to or not to get a tech. It just doesn't happen often. That's not just how I am. But I told them my rule is I don't get one when it's going to affect the outcome of the game. And they always would, but you know, when it's a nip and tuck game like that, I usually don't. But this was a special circumstance. I mean, it just we couldn't allow it to happen. I'll only do it to protect my team. It has nothing to do with me. But
all right, you win last night despite shooting 30.8% from the floor. I'm reading one of Jim's notes. I mean, that's the it's in the 2000s. That's the lowest UTC has shot in a game and still won it. What? Any rhyme or reason why they weren't followed last night?
Well, I mean, I think it was a combination of things. I don't think our shot selection was the best it could be. You know, I thought we were pressing to get shots at times. You know, we got stagnant as far as our movement. A couple guys were pressing. You know, guys are in different roles. Some guys are going to have to score double figures or we lose, probably, right? That might be their role. Some other guys are in it for the first time. They've been waiting and sitting out and waiting to show what they can do. Other guys have not played a college game at all. So there's a lot of that. I think there was a lot of guys were just pressing to get their shots, and so that affected our shot quality. And then some other ones we just met around the basket. That's what I was really – we got a lot of stuff around the basket that we didn't finish. And then we had three or four open looks from the perimeter that we didn't make either. So – yeah, you know, it was just a poor shooting night, but a lot of it, I'd say a third of it had to do with shot quality.
All right, Lamont, how much college basketball? I know you've got a team, obviously, to get going, and you're two games in, and you play at MTSU this Sunday. How much other college basketball are you watching on TV so far?
Oh, you can't even imagine, and you probably don't want to know. So, I mean, that's all I do. It's the only time I need a TV is this time of year, really, to be completely honest with you. And the worst thing, the best and the worst thing that ever was invented was DVR. And so, you know, I see something and it's pause, rewind. Did they do that on purpose? Look at the spacing on this. Wow. They did that specifically for this guy. So that's what my nights are when I watch a game. And, you know, so sometimes I'll specifically just wait till it's like halftime just to watch the second half. But it takes me forever sometimes to watch a full game, particularly with just teams. I'm enamored with winning. I think that's a little known fact about me, is just I'm enamored with the people being the greatest at whatever their discipline is. It doesn't matter. And what makes them tick, how they go about their business, why and how do they get there. And so I watch some of these teams and I'm watching for, you know, tiny, tiny things about their process and why they win. It's not accidental. And so, anyway, to answer your question, it's all I do every night. It's either our tape I'm watching, or to get away from that, I'll watch some regular basketball games that aren't my team. And it's just, you know, I'm in my zone as I'm doing that.
All right, well, building off of that then, Lamont, what about Gonzaga? I mean, this is a program that they're number one in the country. They, mm-hmm. you know, the knock on them used to be they were good in the regular season and they choke in the NCAA tournament, but then they got to the finals and lost to Carolina a few years ago. But, I mean, that's a team that just every year seems to be getting more and more impressive, and it's just bizarre when you consider, you know, you've got the Pac-12 out there, which has been struggling in recent years, but you've got this team up in Washington State, you know, in Gonzaga that just rocks and rolls. How do they do it every year?
Yeah, I mean, they've got a good recipe. I think if you peeled back the layers of the onion and you got down there to the nitty-gritty, they are as solid as it gets. Their culture is incredible. I would imagine I haven't been there to know that, but they used to do it with really good players that are tough, that know and buy into their system, and occasionally you'd have one guy that would be a really good player that people didn't necessarily think was going to be that good, an Adam Morrison or a guy like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or way back to a John Stockton or, you know, whomever it was. Now they're doing it. So now they've taken that same recipe and they've taken high-level success and gone to another echelon to where now they can compete nationally with anyone, and that's because their quality of player has improved now. You know, they were getting – they were getting good players and an occasional really good one. Now their worst players are really good. And then they're going to sprinkle in now a guy or two that is just an absolute dude. And that's a, you know, that's a good recipe. Even if you don't have a great system, if you have way better players, you're going to win. And now if you have a good system and your culture is great and you're disciplined, they're so disciplined and have a high level of toughness, which is, you know, something that out there in the Pac-12 doesn't always, that's kind of the knock on that league versus like a Big Ten or Big East team. But Gonzaga, they are a tough group. And physically tough, mentally tough, and then, like I said, now they've got really good players too. So it's no surprise that they, you know, they can beat anyone. There's on any given day, for sure, they can beat anyone.
Well, I did see Gonzaga thump my alma mater Auburn last Friday. I think Auburn's last lead was 6-5. But the other game I did take a good bit of was the second half of Kentucky going down to Richmond, and you know, Coach Cal a few years ago raised some eyebrows when he said, I would love to coach a 40-0 team. And he almost did it in 2015, got to 38-0. And of course, you were on the Wisconsin staff that knocked him out at the Final Four. But if you look, I mean, for years, Kentucky would just wax the non-conference. And if they lost, it was against a big boy like a Duke. But in the last three years, there was the loss to Seton Hall a couple of years ago, the loss to Evansville last year, and now you've already got a double-digit loss to Richmond. Why is it all of a sudden becoming that much harder? I mean, forget going 40-0. They're just, you know, they're struggling to stay undefeated through, you know, mid-December.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, I'm sure they also would want to be playing their best basketball at the end of the season, and they've improved over game from game to game. But to answer that question specifically, I think you have. Just with the transfers and whatnot, and they've taken a couple mid-major transfers. I think there's so much parity because you got guys shuffling around, and they always have quick turnaround's not as big a deal for them because they've done it with the one and dones for so long. But with the parity, you have guys that are going to Kentucky now, and maybe they have their best player played at I don't know, Rice. The year before, and you know, guys that are older guys, they're not going to be intimidated by a guy like that. I don't think. I just think there's less of an intimidation factor. I think with AAU, even still, those guys all know and played against each other, and so I just think there's less of an intimidation factor. I think that's one thing. I think some of these other teams have older guys, and then you get a year like this year. Where, you know, having older guys at this point in the game when you probably had less practices, maybe you were out with a COVID scenario, and you get a team like Richmond who's got veteran guys. They're obviously well-coached. They've been well-coached. He's a really good coach. They run some stuff offensively that's hard to guard if you're an undisciplined. And I don't mean undisciplined in a negative way necessarily. When you're young, you're typically going to be undisciplined. Now, the best can make up for it because their physical tools are better than yours. But when you're going against Princeton, that's hard to guard. Trust me. I mean, Northwestern did it for the longest time when I first got to Wisconsin, and never failed. That was a 20-page scout. It was the hardest one to prepare for, and they had players that weren't quite as good and still made it a battle every single time. So I think that has something to do with it, is just that you got older guys at some of these mid-major places, and those guys are readier to play on day one than some of these young guys who are going to be top 10 picks in the NBA draft.
Finally, before we let you go, you've been great as always, Lamont. How intrigued are you by tonight's Michigan State Duke game at a buck naked Cameron Indoor?
Well, first of all, the game itself, it should be a great game. You know, Tom Izzo, he's everyone knows Krzyzewski and his numbers and whatnot. But Tom Izzo, just what a good coach he is. And he gets the most out of his talent. They're tough. They battle. And they know how to win on the road and just anyway away from home. So yeah, that'll be very interesting. I think I like the no fans a little better. It's you know, and now I come from a league where that's led the country in attendance the last 20, 30 years. And so I love that too. Don't get me wrong, but from a coaching standpoint, I like the no fans because you can get information across. Like when I call a play, trust me, everyone knows what play we're running. If you don't, you are in la la land. So there are a lot of things I like about the no fans, to be 100% honest with you.
Lamont,
so it should
Paris.
Be a good game tonight.
Yes, it should. Congratulations on your dub. Congratulations on your tee and the run that it caused after you did it. And, again, 2-0 for the first time since the 15-16 season. Congrats on the conquest in Cookeville. Best of luck this week at MTSU, and we always appreciate you joining us here on Press Row.
Appreciate you having me, guys. Always a blast. Take care.
All righty. Lamont Paris, the coach of the Mocs. Always enjoy having him. 648-1051 is the number. Back with more. You're listening to Press Row here on ESPN 105.1 The Zone.